Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Here we go, folks. One more day until the NBA Finals. I can't wait for it. Neither can you. Here we go. Cowherd believes Tiger Woods is so big that some of those off-the-course incidents will start to overshadow his golf accomplishments. Whitlock claims that Tom Brady is going to retire after this season, and he's willing to make a big bet on it. Former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis makes the argument that Russell Wilson is treated perfectly fair by his teammates, and this is common in NFL locker rooms. Former NBA champ Eddie House breaks down why Steph Curry is still disrespected by his peers as a great player. You got to hear that from Eddie House. I love chatting with him backstage. We totally agree on this. I'm the captain of the Steph Curry fan club. And finally, Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. We go a little X's and O's with CB before the tip-off of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Ready for Speak for Yourself? Cowherd and Whitlock, take it away.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why LeBron versus Steph ain't quite Magic and Bird.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why Giselle might get some extra quality time with her hubby. Speak for Yourself starts right now.
I told you. She got all half the money and all the Giselle. He's retiring. Hello and welcome. We're joined now by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and former All-Star Cedric Ceballos. Let's talk NBA Finals, where the Cavs and the Warriors are set to match up for the third straight season. But ESPN analyst Jeff Van Gundy thinks Golden State isn't slowing down anytime soon. Van Gundy told reporters that he thinks the Warriors' young core could play in, quote, 8 to 10 straight finals. Meanwhile, LeBron is making his 7th consecutive finals and has made Cleveland a viable destination for any veteran chasing a ring. So, Colin, who has the more sustainable dynasty, the Warriors super team or LeBron's Cavaliers?
Cavaliers, because they have a leading man. At least for the next 3 or 4 years, LeBron tells everybody what to do and everybody gets in line. That's why Magic worked for the Lakers. That's why Bird worked for the Celtics. That's why MJ and the Pippen worked, because Pippen knew, relinquish it to Michael. The problem when you get these are rock and roll bands. Everybody wants the mic. Shaq, Kobe last for a while, burnout. Even with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron gets along with everybody. Wade was his best friend by the end. Bosh had his feelings hurt. You got 4 stars here. Their rebounder is a star. I mean, Draymond is the best, he's like the sixth biggest star in the league. He's a rebounder.
Talk about Cleveland versus San Francisco, though, now.
I'm just talking, this is a rock and roll band.
No, I know, but again, if you're a star player, would you rather play in San Francisco or Cleveland? Would you rather play with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? Look how easy it has been for them. Look how they share the ball and how everybody is doing well. I think the modern athlete, the millennial athlete, would much rather go play in San Francisco, in the social justice capital of the world, go play with a group of guys where it's easier, it's not as difficult. I think the Warriors have a more sustainable thing.
I don't even think it's close. It's the Warriors without question. They have 4 stars all in their prime, and these guys are different. Draymond, yeah, he's got that ego, he's got that edge, but Klay, Steph, Durant, they're all easygoing guys. And if they keep winning, then Joe Lacob will pay them all max money, pay the luxury tax, and they'll keep going to the finals. So I think it's simple. And LeBron, as great as he is, they're not going to have the money to go out and get real free agents. They can get the Kyle Korvers, the James Joneses, the Richard Jeffersons.
Yeah, but if I have Kyrie, LeBron, and Tristan Love, how many? That's what I need. What else do I need?
But that team, if they lose this year, when are they going to beat Golden State?
And I say it's the Cavaliers, and the reason why is because they're playing in the Eastern Conference. It's a much easier conference. They don't have the competition there. And I have to put on what you said. It's the rock band society going on right here. Look at the interviews from Klay Thompson from 2 years ago and from one now. Now he's drinking a beer. He's like, y'all don't really want to talk to me. Go talk to somebody else. It's the Eagles are setting in, and they're setting in fiercely. He has 2 more years on his deal. He may have an opportunity to leave. Now you got another superstar that came and took over a 2-time superstar spot. There is some things that's going on, like you're saying, in the Rock Band situation. I don't see them going 9-10 years straight to the finals.
By the way, you don't know if Kerr's going to be here next year. Yeah. KD's had injuries.
A lot of luck.
There's a lot of stuff going on here. Like, people always say, oh, I don't have an injury. Let me tell you something. Maybe not compared to Trump, but every president's got an ego. Every lead singer in a rock band has an ego. Klay Thompson has an ego. He's the nicest guy. Yeah. Even his
five
dad, Michael.
Huh? We got the 5 heartbeats going on.
You know Bird and McHale had their issues in Boston. They stayed together. I mean, Kareem, you know, he wasn't the most social guy with Magic and all those guys. They stayed together. Wade, LeBron, and Bosh broke up because Wade just got older and Bosh broke down.
The Boston Celtics knew Larry Bird was the man. The Lakers knew Magic was the mouth. Kareem was the source of the reason why they won championship. That's just the way it is. This is not the situation here. Obviously, Iguodala winning an NBA Most Valuable Player makes it seem like, wait, I thought this was Steph's team. Why didn't he win the MVP? Then they don't lose. Then they lose in the finals, and Steph doesn't come through. So now everybody's like, okay, now we go get KD. It's still a situation on whose team really is this? Just because he's got 2 MVPs in his pocket does not declare this team to be his. LeBron has his team. And everybody on that team knows.
What if Cleveland wins? You don't think there's going to be, like, even the owner going, are we going to give all these guys max guys?
Exactly. Well, if they don't win, then they're not going to be a dynasty anyway. So if they win, that's the thing. And LeBron, as great as he is, it is challenging for really talented free agents or players to play with LeBron because you have to adjust because it's going to be all LeBron. Just like Chris Bosh said, he adjusted. Kevin Love, it took him a few years to adjust. When you go play with LeBron, you better submit that ego.
And LeBron and James Jones are dynasties. Those two are dynasties. They've always been in the final 7 in a row. But what qualifies Golden State to be a dynasty right now? 3 trips to the finals?
Now, yes, they need to win this.
They need to break the news. They win it in 5. Joining us is former Super Bowl champion Eric Davis and Colin's co-host on The Herd, and my favorite co-host, Christine Leahy. Let's start with Tiger Woods. The 14-time major winner was arrested for DUI early Monday morning in Jupiter, Florida. According to Woods, he was taking several prescriptions, including 2 painkillers, as a result of a 4th back surgery this past April. Woods hasn't won a major since 2008, leaving him 4 behind Jack Nicklaus for most all time. The Golden Bear voiced his concern for Woods yesterday.
I feel bad for Tiger. Tiger's a friend. He's been great for the game of golf, and I think he needs all our help, and we wish him well.
All right, Colin, have Tiger Woods' struggles overshadowed his great career?
Well, they're running side by side. No majors 9 years for a 25-year-old fan. He doesn't know great Tiger. He knows tragic Tiger. This happened to Lance Armstrong. It becomes kind of generational. It happened to Mike Tyson. You know, I covered Mike Tyson early, so I saw the breadth of his career. For a lot of people, the last 7-8 years of Mike Tyson was just bad news, police blotter. So, listen, man, mug shots, those things live forever.
I think this dash cam video may be a tipping point. If and when it comes out, and if Tiger looks ridiculous in it and it becomes a meme or something people can't let go of, yeah, I think because, again, we made the Mike Tyson analogy earlier, yesterday. And when I think of Mike Tyson, I think of him being in prison. I think of him losing to Buster Douglas. I still remember plopping down in my seat and him walking across the ring and knocking Michael Spinks out. But that's about it in terms of great moments.
And, Jason, video changes everything. I mean, it changes, it amplifies everything. I can remember hosting a radio show, the Ray Rice situation. I kept saying, folks, are you reading this story? Are you reading what happened with Ray Rice and his fiance? I could not get calls. Video comes out. You couldn't stop talking about it for a year. If this video comes out and it's embarrassing, it will never go away.
I don't think that video should change everything. I think we should be able to look at the facts and not have to have a video in order to see what happened. But I do think this is a case of recency bias. Tiger has had a lot of things go on recently that aren't great, and we still don't know exactly what happened in this car. But he is a guy that's gone through so much in his life, and from such a young age, he was laser-focused on golf. And to have that taken away from you because of an injury is probably really hard to deal with. And so, while I don't approve of anything that he's done, I also can see why it might have happened. He's also 41 years old, so he has a lot of life left, maybe not in golf, but to kind of erase some of the things that have happened or to push them down on the Wikipedia page so that we think of him more as the greatest golfer that ever lived.
Well, recency bias, you're right. It's a microwave society. And you're talking about the 25-year-olds today didn't see what he did. They don't know the great Tiger. Well, 25 years from now, the 25-year-olds won't have, and that's the thing about the video, golf, the game itself is not a soundbite type deal. You have to watch a lot of it. So guess what's going to happen? Just like Nicholas said, his name was relevant because of Tiger. Tiger's in the record books. You're going to forget the fact that the golf club, these young kids, 25 years from now, they'll forget the fact that the golf club hit his car. They'll forget the fact of all the things that he did, but he will be mentioned, the people that are into golf, he will be mentioned alongside the greats because he's in the record book, yeah, and that will stand.
Yeah, but he transcends golf. He's not, I mean, that's like saying people only talk about Lance if they like cycling. I don't have a friend who's into cycling. Lance is bigger than cycling. He's Oprah. Tiger's Oprah.
Because of his controversy.
Well, I'm saying it. Whatever reason, Tiger's not sports.
But
Tiger's a phenomenon.
Tiger transcends because of controversy. He transcends because he's such a big figure.
I would argue
and
both.
Because he was so good at it. Yeah. But this is the thing about it. Golf, who's going to be talking about Lance Armstrong 50 years from now? No one's going to care. With golf, they will still care. They won't be talking about the cyclists, and we understand right now, but that's what I'm saying. He will transcend this because he's in the record book, and it's not going anywhere.
Here's my pushback on that, though, Eric. Golf is such a pretentious sport. Golf is supposed to be the gentleman's game. You keep your own score. You're supposed to stay in between, you know, the rule book and all the lines. Tiger Woods obliterated all that. And again, it's like we love to celebrate the great gentleman of golf, the great statesman of golf. Tiger, he can't be revered the way Jack Nicklaus was, even though to me he was just as great as Jack. But Jack's his integrity, his manhood, his reputation is all still intact. Tiger Woods, that just won't be the case.
Think about this. The 25 most well-known Americans virtually all go by one name. Obama, Trump, Oprah, Tiger, LeBron. When you get to one name category, you're not about just your industry. Oprah's not a TV star. She's a network. Like, so Tiger's beyond, like, Gary Player's a golfer. Tiger's an icon. And we're very cruel to celebrities in this country.
And that's why I still believe that he will be iconic down the road when we get beyond this news cycle.
So I think
that's what's going to happen.
You think this video, if it's ugly, and that mugshot, they're just going to disappear? Like, I don't. I think that's just part of him now. That's going to be the second, third, fourth line of Wikipedia, or I think this video can be, you're right, it shouldn't matter. I completely agree. But in our society, it does matter. When you can see stuff, it always amplifies it. Just the way the game works. The NFL, where the Seahawks are grabbing headlines for having a dysfunctional locker room, an ESPN profile insinuates there is a rift between the Seahawks defense and the quarterback Russell Wilson, all stemming from the quarterback's interception in Super Bowl 49. Wide receiver Doug Baldwin was asked if head coach Pete Carroll holds Wilson accountable enough, and it didn't exactly say no.
I don't know. I think Pete does a fantastic job of handling different individuals differently. You know, we all have our different personalities. We all act different ways. And Pete does a fantastic job of accommodating those personalities. And he's done it with me. He's done it with, of course, Russ, with Sherm, with Marshawn, with all of us.
All right, Whitlock, Russell Wilson treated unfairly by his teammates.
Yeah, I think so. And this sounds like when you have me and my brother. I would complain to my mother and father, y'all never spank my brother. And they're like, he don't do nothing wrong. You do a lot wrong. And this is what this sounds like. But, yeah, why don't y'all spank Russell? Well, he's the quarterback. And the quarterbacks don't get spanked. They get celebrated. They get their confidence coddled and pushed because you want them in that zone. Eric, I don't want to step all over your toes, but you made a great point yesterday about this is a defensive-led team. The Baltimore Ravens did it to Joe Flacco. The problem I have here is Russell Wilson is better than Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Russell Wilson has proven his toughness and skill, played hurt last year. Richard Sherman and this defensive-led team out of line.
Well, a lot of guys played hurt last year for that team. And you do. What Doug Baldwin is saying is true. You treat certain players differently. Some players need a pat on the back all the time. Quarterbacks are along that line. But there are some players that only want to know what they did wrong. I was one of those guys. At the end of the day, I told George Seifert at the end of the day after retiring, I don't know if I did it in spite of you or because of you, but we got it out of me. And that's what we wanted to do. So I thanked him for that. The way he coached me was a lot different than the way he coached some other guys like Merton Hanks that I played with, but that's a part of it. Sherm and other players have a right to call out a guy who's not playing that way, especially when that's the environment that has been created. It happens in a lot of situations, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I also don't think that it's a rift in the locker room because of it, or will it cause
one? So what do I make of that ESPN article? I mean, that was like multiple people. Like, I read that and I was like,
a lot of those people are no longer in the locker room. They're anonymous sources that used to coach there or used to do this. They're not there.
Russell Wilson looks like the nice guy and kind of the teacher's pet, and that doesn't usually go over well with the rest of a locker room. For some reason, they don't like it. And to me, it's like, I think that those guys need to kind of look within themselves and figure out, why exactly am I making my quarterback's job more difficult? What is it about him being this nice guy and having the support of the front office that I don't like? Because Russell Wilson's also the guy that leads them. Yes, their defense is great, but you need your quarterback. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. So to do that doesn't make sense. And I do think that because Wilson has this nice aura about him, it would be a smart move, not that he has to or should, but to go into the locker room and address this head on with his teammates and call him out for it and maybe kind of come to a...
I think there is a goody two-shoes thing here.
Yeah.
He's like Tebow with talent. Like Tebow, for all the goodness about Tebow, after about 3 or 4 months of that, I was getting texts. People were like, listen, man, a lot of this stuff is garbage. And I think Tebow's pretty authentic guy. I've had more than a few people in this league covering it long enough that have said, you know, guy, you guys make this guy out to be some sort of messiah. He's human too, by the way. There's a little turnoff among players that he's a little too swell.
I don't think any of this has anything to do with him being nice. I don't think it has anything to do with his personality. It's about play. He's good, but understand the standard of good. Good's a relative term. Understand the standard of good in Seattle's locker room. You have some of the best players in the league. You have an all-time great defense. You look at the standard that they have set on that side of the ball. You don't want a guy to come out and, okay, just because, and you started off by saying, well, Russell played hurt. Everyone plays hurt. You have to perform hurt. And on the defensive side of the ball, they feel like they're doing that. I'm sure there are guys on the offensive side of the ball that's doing that. Once you cross the line, I don't care if you're injured, you have to do your job.
Okay, well, what about this? I mean, Richard Sherman can get on his high horse. I'm playing at a high level. But what about the front four in front of him? What about the linebacking core? What about the safety and all the pieces around that allow him to play at that high level? This guy's playing hurt behind one of the worst offensive lines in football.
It was the worst.
The least paid offensive line in football, and he's out there performing. They need some context and understanding of what he's dealing with. And again, I was never Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Never. But do we gotta knock guys that are Goody Two Shoes?
How is it knocking a guy if you are just saying do what's expected of you and do what you've done? Do you know how many times that happened? Do you know how many times that happened at practice?
Yet
at the quarterbacks, I can tell you in the middle of practice Thursdays when it would be first team versus first team, where we were sitting there yelling and screaming at one another, calling each other out. Why? Because that was just competition. That's how we played with the one another, and that was the standard. That happens on good teams.
Pete Carroll, he allows a lot of voices. This is what you get. Articles in ESPN. I mean, I'll say it again. Into USC, Seattle's becoming the same. A multitude of talkers.
Welcome back. Eric Davis here. Joining us now, founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre.
The Boston Globe is speculating that Tom Brady may be strongly considering retirement after next season. They cite the Pats not trading backup Jimmy Garoppolo, Brady doing more endorsements this offseason than normal, and his supermodel wife, Giselle, openly discussing his concussions on national TV. All right, Colin, we're still talking conspiracy theories. Do you believe Brady will retire next year?
I think we're getting closer, and I think people send you messages. You ever seen those, like, big names, like an Elton John or a Shania Twain or something in music, Garth Brooks, and they go to Vegas? What they're telling you is, I'm tired of touring. I want to live. I want to go every night to Caesar's Palace. Brady's endorsements, he hasn't done that his whole career. He's been passing on them for 15 years. Suddenly, I can't turn on my television and Brady's on commercials. Tom's telling you, I'm getting real close. Because for the record, some of him not doing...
You hear Tom's voice.
Well, I think Tom's kind of telling everybody here, guys, this is not only back nine, I'm about 17. I'm moving into... By the way, it's watching Romo's making money. Peyton Manning post-football making money.
I know where you're going. All look, the Giselle, man,
look,
huh?
Look, Tom Brady wears the pants one place inside that locker room. At home, it's become crystal clear who is in control. There was somebody who was like, hey, man, you ain't going to the White House. And guess what? He came up with a reason not to go to the White House. There's somebody that went on national TV and said, hey, nah, baby, you got concussions. This stuff about five more years of football. That's Tom. Tom wants to play five more years. He wants that freedom. He can be a man. He can run things at the Patriots locker room. He ain't running nothing at home. The guy is retiring because Giselle has put her foot down, as she has a right to do.
It's very well put, well said. Colin, I'm going to go back to Peyton Manning. The end comes quickly. Remember, he had thrown, 55 touchdown passes? 2 years later, he falls apart, is broken at 40, had to miss half the season. They got to the Super Bowl one, and he's like, I'm out of here. Last year, Brady missed a quarter of the season with a suspension, remember? Four-game breather, essentially. And then he melted down in that Houston playoff game. He was terrible. I think two interceptions. And in the first half of the Super Bowl, you guys remember what happened, the pick six. They're down 28-3. I love Brady. He's had a great career. The end can come quickly. Eric, as you know, a former player, it can come quick for Brady.
I know it did. It didn't come as quickly with Peyton as you think. I mean, he threw 55 touchdowns, but, I mean, 70% of his balls were 10 yards or less. You had Bebe catching two-yard routes and running for 50 yards. So that was a part of it as well. Tom Brady, there are two factors that are going to determine whether or not he retires. Garoppolo's extension, that's number one, and number two is whether or not he wants to wear another uni. The Patriots are going to be finished with Tom Brady before he's finished with them.
Yes.
So
yes.
If he truly wants to play until he's 45, if he wants to play after this season, there are teams that will give him an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, without question. But does he want to put on another uni? Because if they re-sign Garoppolo, it's his time. And that's what I think is going to happen. They're going to move on, and he's going to have to decide. I don't think it has anything to do with Giselle. I don't think it has anything.
Nothing to do with Giselle.
She's begged him twice
She's begged him twice, and he said no.
Eric,
okay,
if your wife called right now, you'd walk off this set and carry your tail to Beverly Hills and do what you told.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would, but I'd be back tomorrow. And you're saying he's not coming back. I'm saying he's coming back.
Yeah, but
I'm
not allowing you to come back. You'd be back.
You know, I do believe what Eric said. Listen, New England is going to have to make a choice here because Garoppolo is going to want some money. And this is the one thing New England doesn't do. Spend a fortune on two players at the same position. They barely spend money on a great player at one position. They're going to make a choice. The other thing is, I think Belichick, and I think he came to terms with this a couple years ago, because he's never done this, they're giving up draft picks. They're getting veterans. I think Belichick is giving Tom a big thank you. His whole career, Belichick has accumulated draft picks. Last 3 years, he's given them away. That's the parting gift. Bro, you have done a lot for my legacy. I'm giving you Brandon Cooks. I'm giving you guys in this league. I'm not giving you 21-year-olds. That's Bill's way of saying, thank you, tip of the cap, both our legacies. You did a lot for me. Now I'll do it for you.
To the Warriors and Steph Curry, who despite winning two MVPs and being the centerpiece of the most successful three-year run in NBA history, Curry is still finding ways to be disrespected by current and former players. Stars like Charles Barkley, Oscar Robertson, and Russell Westbrook have all been critical of Curry in the past. Yesterday, Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen added fuel to the fire, saying he's not the best player on either team in the finals. Quote, I think we also have to look at it now that he's not the best player on either team, even though he's a two-time MVP. Right now, he's not the best player on his team. He's not a dominant player. Colin, are you surprised Steph Curry is being disrespected by Scottie Pippen and a bunch of other guys?
Well, yeah, in a way, but I get it because he's not physically imposing. Like, I'm sorry, if you, like, you can say what you want about Ichiro, but there's a lot of guys who are like, he hits singles. Bryce Harper hits home runs. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens through 98. Ichiro got singles. So he's not held. That's just the way America.
Steph is Ichiro.
We know what I'm saying is, see, Ichiro's an amazing player. But we like our athletes within the athletic circle to be physically dominant.
Well, here's something that I went through with David Robinson. Everybody used to think David was a punk and he wasn't all that because he was so religious. And he used to sign his autograph and put his religion. Same thing with Steph. Steph is a religious person. He even stopped the Nike endorsement because they wouldn't put a Bible scripture on his shoes. It's the same way. Get off of the guy. The guy is talented. The guy has the ability to finish basketball games. That's the most important thing. Yes, I agree with Scottie. He is not the best player in the finals. He's not even the second best player in the finals. Durant and LeBron James, I think, take that. But everybody's always on, and they did the same thing to David Robinson. They just criticize guys because they put that religion in their whole family first before they put in basketball. And everybody wants the big huff and tough guy to be out there dunking, running, slamming, jamming. And that's wrong.
To be a two-time MVP, you got to be dominant. I'm sorry, in some way, some form. And if you take over games, you are dominant. You don't have to be the dominant dunker. You don't have to be the dominant defender. He's a dominant scorer, and he could take over the game. So I think Scottie kind of misspoke when he said he's not a dominant player. I agree that he's not the first, second best player in the finals.
Oh, he's totally dominant.
Yeah, but he's dominant, but he's not the first or second. And over the last 3 years, you know, he's number one in steals.
And he's
out of everybody in the league.
He's also number one,
just under 2 points
plus minus.
A game.
You know, another thing is he's a trailblazer. Here's what happens when you're a trailblazer. Even if you're a politician, first there's animosity, and then they copy you. And essentially, he came in. Oh, I mean, little small. San Antonio's
shooting
like
threes.
We got to all shoot threes. This is what happens. It's like Uber. He's Uber. Taxi companies, outrageous, illegal.
Lyft. I
rebuke
the point that you're saying they started it. It started with D'Antoni and the Suns, Nash's team, was shooting the threes, lighting it up. They just extended what that did. I mean, and Steve Kerr was a part of that, too.
Let me say this. Where Scottie Pippen is coming from, I think, is more personal. Because what Scottie Pippen looks at and says, oh, I would shut him down. Scottie Pippen was one of the great defenders, and he's looking out there of all the guys like, oh, man, I'd have some problems with KD. Oh, I'd certainly have big problems with LeBron James. Kyrie Irving, he might just be a little too quick to the hole and too great of a fit. But Steph Curry, I could handle him and I could figure him out.
Look at it like this. It's the OGs that are talking like that. Charles Barkley, Oscar Robertson, and Scottie Pippen. The way the game is played now is totally different from how it was played back then. It's not that, it's not as physical. So they're still stuck in that mind frame like, oh, man, I don't think he's dominant because it's not as they feel like they could get physical with him, to your point. But it's a total different game. You can't touch now, and it's a speed game and a three game.
And to Eddie's point, Curry is the new basketball. He's the face of new basketball. Finesse outside, shooting threes. So when they criticize Curry, Charles and these guys, they're really criticizing the new NBA, which is three dominant, find your spot, outside the arc, hit it, nobody touches you, pedal back.
And what do you think Russ is going to say? Of course, Russ is going to say that he don't like the way Steph plays.
He can't do what Steph can do.
Of course, but I've watched AAU basketball all the way to the 10-year-olds, all the way up, and all of them want to shoot threes, and it's because of Steph Curry.
Look, I'll say this, and I may be wrong here. Steph Curry's better than Allen Iverson was. He 2-time MVP, he's won a title. Iverson was never 2-time MVP, didn't win a title. He's been to 3 straight finals. If Steph Curry had all the tats on, like Allen Iverson, people wouldn't be saying this. So part of this to me is an appearance. It's like he's from this great family with Dale and Sonya Curry. You know, he no tats, religious guy, married with looks like a legitimate marriage. It's like they don't respect him. But again, better player than Allen Iverson. And I didn't hear all these players bitching and complaining about Allen Iverson, what they could shut him down. They didn't respect
Allen
Iverson.
They couldn't shut him down. That's why.
And they couldn't shut Steph Curry down either.
That's why he's averaging 28.
Right.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Thanks for listening, everybody. Always remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Tell all your friends. We're also on SoundCloud, YouTube. We've had a great month heading into June and the finals. Hey, folks, thanks for hanging with us during these slow days of no NBA games. My producer suggests House of Cards to get you through the night. Hey, let me get a quick word on salty Paul Pierce. I mean, what a little punk he's being, huh? Mouthing off and making fun of Kevin Durant? I mean, geez, Paul, get your act together. Did you forget the only way you got a title? Because of a super team. And then you went and chased a ring in Brooklyn, and you went in Washington and tried to chase a ring, and then you ended your career with the Clippers, another super team. So why don't you put a cork in it, Paul Pierce? Have a good night.